Welcome to the Australian Garden History Society's first podcast. We're excited to bring you stories from our rich oral history collection because they say so much about the importance of gardens in our lives. Here is the voice of Dame Elizabeth Murdoch, the first chair of the Society and a lifelong gardener in Victoria.
It's a wonderful world, the gardening world, because it does attract such interesting people. Gardening is something very special in our lives.
Dame Elizabeth was talking to Jane Holth in 2002 and was one of the first voices captured in the AGHS Oral History Collection. Many of the interviews in this collection don't just tell the story of the Society, they go well beyond that. They record the challenges of creating and preserving gardens, and they take us beyond the garden fence, revealing things that have changed or not in Australia over the past century. Today we're going to look at the impact of Ryde Horticultural College in Sydney. Your host is Jennifer Stackhouse.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Stackhouse. I studied at Ryde myself in the 1980s, following in the footsteps of my mother Shirley, who we'll hear from a little later. Often just called Ryde, the college is one of the country's leading horticultural schools. It is set in 10 hectares of landscape gardens in northwest Sydney. These are the lands of the Wallumattagal people. Wallumar means snapperfish, and matter refers to a place, often a water place, and in this case, the Parramatta River. The first horticultural school in New South Wales started in 1936 as part of Sydney Technical College. In 1948, it found its permanent home at Ryde. Back then, students gathered in old World War II RAAF tin huts, a far cry from today's state-of-the-art facilities, but I can tell you that some of them were still in use when I was there. By 1986, a $10 million expansion transformed the campus and added a 5-hectare nursery at Epping, known in my time as the Epping Annex. Plenty of Ryde College graduates have gone on to make a real name for themselves, not just in the horticulture industry, but well beyond it. You've probably heard of the TV presenters Angus Stewart and Jamie Durie. Then there's Judy Fakes, who went on to become a commissioner in the Land and Environment Court. Miles Baldwin and other high-profile landscape designers also started their journeys at Ryde. Jared Kelly, now the curator-manager at the Royal Botanic Gardens in Sydney, was an apprentice at Ryde. Some also became members of the Australian Garden History Society, not imagining when they were students that they'd need to know much about history. Over time, though, they have come to appreciate our mission of conserving historic gardens and cultural landscapes. The AGHS's Oral History Collection has captured their recollections of Ryde. Let's start with Shirley Stackhouse. Shirley was awarded an OAM for her services to gardening and gardening writing, including as the Sydney Morning Herald's gardening contributor for more than 30 years. She also presented a top-rating weekend gardening show, Over the Fence, on Radio 2UE in Sydney. Shirley had been keen to study horticulture after she left school, but in the 1940s it wasn't an option in Queensland. Here's Shirley explaining her late entry to horticulture training to interviewer Roslyn Burge.
Was horticulture ever a thought at that time?
No, because the only way you could do horticulture in Queensland was at the Gatton Agricultural College, which only admitted boys. So there was absolutely no way you could study horticulture in Brisbane in those years.
Was that ever a thought for you,
though? Oh, yeah, I was keen to do it. And when I came to Sydney to live, the first thing I did was enroll at Ryde School of Horticulture.
What do you remember from your days there?
Oh, Ray Rowell was the principal at the time, wonderful man. I think possibly one of the best principals they ever had there. He ran a tight ship. You didn't go to college in your thongs or anything. You went properly dressed. When you've got boys at a college who are apprentices, they're liable to want to come dressed anyhow, but not when Ray Rowell was there. They came properly attired, and they came and sat up and took notice. When we started in our year, there were 32 boys and 17 women. And after the end of the first year, there were 16 boys and 16 women. One girl had given up, but 16 or so boys had given up.
This is the 1960s. Yes,
that's right.
So you must have been a mature age student.
Oh, yes, and I wasn't the only mature age student. Most of the girls were mature age students. In fact, the one who gave up was a girl of 18 who decided that she didn't really want to do horticulture. So she was the only one who was a school leaver. The rest of us were all mature age students.
Do you keep in touch with those women?
Some of them, yes. I made some very good friends there. And I was acquainted with the boys who went on to be successful as well. My daughter, Jennifer, went there as well later. First she went to Sydney University and got a fine arts honours degree. But when she started doing horticulture, she went and did the course. She did an upgraded course, so she did a better course than I did.
I was going to ask you how the course compared then with perhaps later times.
I think it's been upgraded and it's a better course these days. But we had very good lecturers at the time. I knew a good lecturer from a bad one. And we were very happy with the... And they liked teaching us. In fact, they would say that they enjoyed teaching the older people because they wanted to learn.
Did that time at Ryde have any particular influence on you?
Oh, yes. I think it made me... Your whole life becomes absorbed in horticulture, which become more conscious of plant and the world around you and the temperature and the climate becomes so much more a part of your life.
As you heard, Shirley knew from an early age what she wanted to do. That's not always the case, though. I did a BA in Fine Arts and came to horticulture through historic gardens. Several of the interviews in the oral history collection reveal how other people fell into gardening as a career. Lindsay Campbell is now an influential figure in Tasmanian horticulture and garden landscape design. Here he explains how it all started when he and his wife were 19.
When you went overseas, you were around 19, 20. Where did you go?
Yes, we were both 19. We went straight to England. We worked in England picking fruit on Wilkinson's Jams, it was, that had a really feudal farm, I have to say. And we bought an old London taxi and drove around England, Scotland, Wales on our time off. While I was there, I got to work on the manor house because the gardener wasn't there. So I was mowing the croquet lawns and getting a hot lunch. And I thought I could actually do this for a career.
So that was your first taste of
real gardening. Yeah, exactly. So while I was in England, I wrote to Ryde School of Horticulture and to Willoughby Council. When we returned to Sydney, I studied horticulture, a three-year course specialising in garden design.
Lindsay went on to teach horticulture at Hobart TAFE. Here he explains why he likes botanical Latin.
My main discipline, I have to say, is identification. Really strict about the technical correctness of identifying plants. I've always hated the thought of common names. If somebody says to me, I'd like you to plant a dogwood, I can name 10 plants from trees from Canada to small ground covers from England to plants my road. I love the system of every plant having only one identifier and that not being able to be confused. So I've always been strong on my horticultural Latin and people still talk to me about common names and I struggle with that. I felt that was really important to pass on in education to students so that understood horticulture is a science and not a hobby.
Nurseryman and plant breeder Bob Cherry also ended up in Tasmania, but he came from the north of Sydney near Gosford. In 1972, Bob Cherry founded a nursery at Kalnura, 80 kilometres north of Sydney. At its peak, Paradise Plants was one of the largest wholesale nurseries in Australia, covering 10 hectares and employing 35 people. Bob also created a beautiful garden on the nursery site. He has since moved to northwest Tasmania, where his garden journey is continuing.
I was never much good at school, disliked it completely. Used to just look out the window at the trees. Scored enough marks to just survive each year. When I was 16, I decided I had enough of school. So I got myself a job when I was still in school in a nursery, which was Burbank Seed Farms in those days, and enrolled at Tech, did a horticulture course at Tech for 3 years. And Ryde School of Horticulture.
Wanting to work outside also motivates some people to try horticulture as a career. That's what prompted Ian Carroll to leave his office job behind. Ending up as a head gardener in the Southern Highlands, Ian now values those horticultural skills he learnt at Ryde.
When I finished school in Cairns, I went to University of Queensland to study commerce, which was aborted after a few years when I realised I didn't want to be an accountant. And before I became a gardener, I went through a couple of career changes. I was a COBOL programmer in the early days of programming for the Queensland Public Service. And when I eventually moved down to Sydney, worked in public service middle management, where I picked up my keenness for record keeping and manual writing, which has all translated well into what I do as a head gardener. Travel overseas, and eventually I got sick of that and came back, and I wanted to work outdoors, and I was looking at studying forestry. But in those days, it's 30 years ago, the forestry department had a philosophy that was a bit alien to what I was wanting to do. It was more about production than conservation, which was my interest. So I was pointed in the direction of horticulture by a friend who had done the Certificate 3 course. And that was fortuitous. So I enrolled at the Horticulture Certificate 3 course at Ryde School of Horticulture. When I went there, I was mature age and did the full-time course and really brought very little to it.
Passion and enthusiasm and commitment.
Well, that came immediately. I like my gardeners to have done the certificate. Yes. I like that scientific background. The botanical name, the understanding of the yes. Latin nomenclature and the science behind fertilising, the chemicals. And so I like them to start with that. And then on top of that, you just lay layer and layer of experience. Gardening is such a humbling industry and job. It just when you think, oh yeah, I can do that and I know how to do this and doesn't my garden look really grey? You visit someone else's garden and you think, how are they doing that? Why didn't I think of doing that? Yes. Gardening is brilliant for that, and it's lifelong learning.
Ryde gave us an extremely good grounding in horticulture. When I was there, part of our studies were in the evening. Most of us worked full-time, so we possibly missed out on some hands-on experiences, and I may have nodded off in horticultural engineering, which was the final subject of the night. But I felt that the associate diploma course I did was very well-rounded and set me up for a lifetime of learning about horticulture. After I completed the course, I began writing about gardening, and my career path changed away from museums, fine arts and social history, and I moved to the Royal Botanic Gardens, Sydney.
Thanks so much, Jennifer, for bringing us these insights into Ryde. It clearly has a special place in the gardening world. And it's great to see that success doesn't always require a diploma in horticultural engineering. Passion and experience count for a lot. If this episode has sparked your curiosity, you can check out most of our oral history recordings and transcripts on the website. I'm Francesca Beddy, editor of the Society's Journal and this podcast, and I'd love to hear your own stories or memories about Ryde. Anyone can join the Australian Garden History Society. If you're a student, it's just $35 a year. That gets you a subscription to Australian Garden History, which comes out quarterly in both digital and print form. Plus, you'll receive a monthly newsletter, access to local events and webinars, which we mainly broadcast during chillier winter months. Head over to the website to learn more about becoming a member and to explore a treasure trove of garden history resources. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.